keep fighting the good fight. Don't get weary if it seems like you have to fight battle after battle. God wants you to know that the fights and the battles are not yours, they're His. Don't let yourself get down. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Fight like you've never fought before. Now I know your wife a little bit, maybe better than I know you. And I know she prays a lot. She talks to God a lot. But what people don't see is people don't see how much you talk to God in your quiet, private time. And you fought a lot of fights. And you've been through a lot of battles. And there's more ahead. And you're going to continue to fight. The same way you fought in the past, for yourself, for your wife, for your family, you're going to continue to fight those fights. You're going to continue to be victorious. God's going to fill you with a new strength and a new fire and a new energy. But it's up to you what you do with it. Father, we thank you right now. We lay hands on this man, Father God. We just pray, Father God, Lord, for a fire and a passion, Father God, Lord, that's already on the inside, Father God, Lord. Just, Father God, Lord, explode it, Father God, Lord, like a volcano, Father God, Lord. Father God, Lord, let it just erupt, Father God, Lord, and then pour forth out, Father God, Lord. Father God, Lord, may this man's life, Father God, Lord, touch and affect everyone that he's around, Father God, Lord. I just pray, Father God, Lord, that you begin a new work on the inside of him, Father God, Lord. Health, strength, Father God, Lord. Life, Father God, Lord. Fire, Father God, Lord. Zeal for you, Father God, Lord. I just thank you, Father God, Lord, right now, Father God, Lord, that this mind, this heart, this soul, Father God, Lord, is set on you and on things above, Father God, Lord. I just thank you, Father God, Lord, right now, Lord God, that you have your way, Father God, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father God, Lord. In Jesus' name. I just thank you, Father God, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father God, Lord. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, hallelujah. Thank you. I love you. Lord, thank you, Lord. Donnell, can I pray with you, sir? I get to know you, the more I like you. Can't say that about everybody in life. When you set your mind to something, you go for it 100%. You don't let anyone or anything get in your way. And God got you from point A to point B because you decided that you were ready to go. But God wants you to know that B is not where He wants you to stay. You're going to go from B to C and C to D. And when you get to Z, then you're going to go back to double A and double B. Because God has more for you. God has more for you. Don't ever settle for where you're at. God has more for you. And you know what God has done in your life. And from conversation that you and I have had, I know what God has done in your life. But God doesn't want it to end there. He has more for you. Same way that you enjoy life, you're gonna continue to enjoy your new life in Him. And you made a decision a couple weeks ago to give your life to Him wholeheartedly, 100%. And the same way you do everything else in life, you're in 100%. I don't see 90%. I don't see 99%. I see 100%. But don't ever settle for where you're at. Always, always, always go for more. And don't let anyone get in your way. Don't let anyone stand in your way. Father, I just pray right now over this man, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that you continue to, Father God, Lord, to grow a desire on the inside of him, Father God, Lord, for more and more of you, Father God, Lord. I pray, Father God, Lord, that he never just get complacent, Father God, Lord. Never find that place where he's just, Father God, Lord, Father God, Lord, satisfied, Father God, Lord. Always give him that itch, Father God, Lord, on the inside of him, Father God, Lord, to want more of you, Lord God, to press in for more of you, Lord God, to get closer to you, Father God, Lord. I just thank you, Father, right now, Lord God, that you continue to minister to him, Father God, Lord, touch and change his life, Father God, Lord. I just pray and thank you right now, Father God, Lord, that Father God, Lord, for a new beginning, Father God, Lord, right now, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Father, I just thank you. I praise you. I lift your name up, Father God, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, man.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Y'all may be seated. Thank you, Lord. We're going to get ready for... He knows all the in and outs. He knows exactly what to do. And now he wants to come and he wants to resurrect things in our life.
Amen.
Sometimes we go through things where we allow things to die in our life that shouldn't be dead.
Amen.
And we allow some things to live in our life that really shouldn't be alive.
Yep.
There are some things in our life that we need to kill and we need to let die. But there are some things in our life that we let die that we need to have resurrected.
Yeah.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I need you all to pray for me. Will you all pray for me if I ask you to pray for me?
Yes.
My daughter turned 16 Thursday.
Woo-hoo!
And I need you all to pray for me.
Woo-hoo!
Is she in here?
Yeah.
Oh, you're over here. I didn't know if you were next door or not. She's always working somewhere, serving somewhere, doing something somewhere. I know she's here, but I never know where she is here. Because she's always busy doing something. But she turned 16 and we celebrated her sweet 16. And I'm just so proud of her. And I love the way she loves the Lord. I love the way she loves other people. Glory, thank you, Lord. Y'all doing all right today? Man, I love coming to church. I love being in God's presence.
Amen.
Last week, we kind of started talking a little bit about following the Lord. And I kind of want to just kind of pick up where we left off. And I'm gonna do a little bit of a recap. Didn't really get to speak too much last week. And that was God's design. And if God wants me to say a lot, I'll say a lot. If God wants me to say a little, I'll say a little. And... you know, when the Holy Spirit tells you you're done, you're done. But when the Holy Spirit tells you to go, you go.
Amen.
And we were talking about following Jesus, but I want to take a few minutes here, right in the beginning, and I want to hit a few negatives and get the negatives out of the way, because there are some things that we should not be following, and not be looking after. And not seeking after or searching after. Glory, thank you, Jesus. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Thank you, Lord, that we rent and the building's not ours.
Yes.
Because it's someone else's leak. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're going to look at verse 45. If you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and to obey the commands and decrees he has given you, all these curses will pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. They just got done going through all the curses, and there's a little bit of an explanation. It said these curses are going to pursue you and overtake you if you don't obey the Lord.
Amen.
When we step away from God, everything slows down. When everything slows down, the things around us that we're trying to stay away from catch us. Not only do they catch us, but they overtake us. There are some things in life that we don't want to catch us, and we don't want to overtake our lives. And that's definitely the curses that come with us not obeying the Lord.
Amen.
In 3 John chapter 1, verse 11, 3 John chapter 1, verse 11, John 1, verse 11. Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. How many of you have ever followed the bad example?
Yeah.
How many of you have ever been the bad example? Lord, help them confess their sins. Don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Do not pursue evil. Do not follow after evil. Our lives are to be following after God and things from above. Our lives are to be pursuing life. We are to pursue life.
Amen.
And our life comes through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
The button's already out, so we need more than 3 people to amen him.
Amen.
The amens are not for me. Let me explain that to you right now. The amens let me know that you're paying attention.
Amen.
The amens let me know that you're listening.
Yeah.
Whether you do what you learn or not, it's up to you. But at least it lets me know that you're paying attention.
Amen.
We're not following after evil. Now, there are some things that will be following after us. Last week, we read Mark chapter 16. Signs and wonders will follow those that believe. How many of you believe?
Amen.
If you believe, raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. So if we believe, signs and wonders should be following us. And after those verses, if you go down to Mark 16:20, it says, they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with the signs following. God's word works.
Amen.
His word works.
Amen.
There should be many miracles that follow after us. See, we're always looking for the big grand gesture when it comes to miracles, that we miss all the little things that God does for us every day, all day long. So many little opportunities that we're looking for in life, they're there. Don't look beyond them and don't look past them. The signs and wonders should be following those that believe.
Yes.
If we believe, the signs and wonders should follow us.
Yes.
One of the things that Crystal said in Sunday school this morning is, she said, I want God in my life so that I can share Him with others.
Amen.
Now that wasn't an exact quote, but that was a good paraphrase.
Yes.
And you know, those things should follow us, where people are coming up to us and going, man, what's different about your life? My life is just miserable. My life is just hard. Nothing goes right in my life. And I know some things aren't going right in your life, but you seem so full of joy all the time.
Amen.
What's going on? I got news for you. If people know what's going on in your life and you're full of joy, they're going to want to know what's different about you.
Amen.
They're going to want to know.
Amen. Yes,
thank you, Lord. Psalms chapter 23. 23rd Psalm, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what does it say after that? I will live and dwell in the house of the Lord. What's the last word?
Forever.
Forever. Everybody say forever.
Forever.
Forever. That doesn't mean that we're here in this building 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It means that we're here every Sunday. We're here Wednesday when we're not working and we can make it here. But we should have a desire to be here on Wednesday nights.
Amen.
We should have a desire to be here on Sunday mornings. We should have a desire to come out at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. A lot of good word comes out at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. I know a lot of us come for church at 10 o'clock, and that's great. I'm so glad you're here. But we started at 9 o'clock. So if you come at 10:05 and think, thank God I made it, I'm only 5 minutes late. No, you're an hour and 5 minutes late. But I'm so glad you're here. I think a lot of times what we're looking for, we miss because we choose to stay home, or we choose not to come, or we choose not to fight the weather or the rain or the storms or whatever. I remember one time when one of the hurricanes was coming and someone asked me, are we having service? And I said, yes, I'm having service, rain or shine. And they literally got mad at me because the hurricane was coming. I said, the hurricane's not going to be here until Monday. It's Sunday now. I'm gonna have church. I'm going to go to church. If I want to do anything before the hurricane comes, I want to be in God's house, in God's presence, praying and asking Him for safety. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But man, I want goodness and mercy following me everywhere I go. That's what in Psalm 23 it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means I don't just get to have good things from God today and not tomorrow, because today is the Lord's day after all. I get to have goodness and mercy tomorrow. Amen. On Monday. I get to have goodness and mercy on Wednesday in the middle of the week. Yeah. When it's kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's only the middle of the week. And I get to have God's goodness and mercy on Friday. Mm-hmm. When instead of saying, thank God it's Friday, how about thank God I still have His goodness and mercy in my life. Yeah. That I have seen many, many Fridays, and I'm going to see many more Fridays. A lot of times we're like so excited the weekend is here. How about if we get excited that Sunday is here and our worship day is here? Yeah. That day we get to come into God's house and worship Him. Amen. Man, I'm so excited about being in God's presence. I'm so excited about what God's doing in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, the most amazing thing happens. As we follow God, what we're doing without even realizing it is we're leading others. We don't always realize that. When I follow God, I'm leading somebody else, whether I realize it or not. When you follow God, you're leading someone, whether you realize it or not.
Amen.
Just by the way you live your life.
Yeah.
Just by the way you live your life. See, in Sunday school this morning, something that was said, and it kind of got stuck in my spirit, it's kind of like Crystal made the point that I'm not perfect, but I want to get back to where I was. I want to have that relationship with God that I had before. And you know what? We should all have that desire.
Yeah.
No one should be complacent where they're at with God. Because when we get complacent, you know what happens? We get lazy.
Yeah.
We get lazy.
Yeah.
We get lazy. When you get lazy, what do you do?
Nothing.
I heard nothing. You don't do nothing. when you're lazy and you're doing nothing, then you get up and you start moving around, what happens? You feel a whole lot better, don't you? When you're sick for a few days, doesn't it feel good when you get out of bed and start moving around? And you're like, oh my, wait. And the thought is, I can't lay on the couch anymore. I can't lay in bed anymore. I can't sit in this chair anymore. I just got to get up and move around and start feeling some life, start feeling some energy. You know, how about with the things of God? How, man, I don't want to come. I don't want to just sit in this chair on Sunday morning. I don't want to just sit in this chair on Wednesday night. Man, I want to come in. I want to experience everything that God has for me. I want to get up. I want to move around. I want to lift my hands and worship a little bit. Man, I want to clap my hands. I want to worship God. I want to express how I feel about God from the inside and just let it come forth out. Come on, you've all been at sporting events. You've all been somewhere. You've all yelled at the television for something. And you've expressed yourself that way. Why can't we express ourselves in the house of God?
Amen.
Why can't we let others know, man, I'm just here to worship God. I don't really care what you do. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I don't care if I make you feel awkward.
Amen.
Because I'm just here to worship God. Come on, we've all been in situations where we could care less what the person next to us thinks. Come on. Come on, have you ever had a crisis? And all of a sudden, and you just react and respond because it's your friend or your family member or something's going on, and you just... And you do those things. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of the passion that you have for what's going on. When we come into God's house, we should have passion about what's happening in God's house. Mm-hmm. We should have passion on the inside of us about what's going to happen, about what God's already doing. Mm-hmm. We should have passion on the inside of us. Man, I can't wait. Man, I can't wait to be in God's presence. Man, God, man, since the moment I woke up this morning, God has been talking to me and sharing things with me and showing things with me. And man, I know when I get to church, man, if I'm around other people that have had the same experience that I've had this morning, before I even got here this morning, you know what kind of service we're going to have? The kind of service we had last Sunday. The kind of service we had 3 Sundays ago. That's the kind of services that we're going to have. We come in sometimes with what is what they call felt needs, needs that we feel, things that we feel, things that we're going through. Yeah. Well, you know, you understand that we're not supposed to leave with those.
That's right.
Right. But you also understand that we don't have to have an altar call for you to leave your needs at the altar of God. Amen. I don't have to say, and I don't have to call out exactly what you're going through and say, if you're going through this, you're dealing with this, come down to the altar and we're going to pray with you, lay hands on you. You know, and God does do that sometimes.
Yeah.
And great things happen.
Yeah.
I may not, God tricks me every time. Because anytime I think one person's going to come up, the whole church comes up.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, and it's the opposite too. When I think the whole church should come up, one or two people come up.
Right.
Wow. Hallelujah. We come to church, we take what we want to take out of worship, out of tithes and offerings, out of the word, out of the fellowship. We take what we want. You can come and fellowship with nobody. And we can leave and say, man, that church is cold, that church isn't loving, that church... And we didn't talk to anybody. You know, I could go to the grocery store and say the same thing. Hey, no one talked to me. This grocery store is really cold and really, they're really not loving, you know. No one came up and gave me a hug, nothing. But you know, if I go to the grocery store and I say hi to somebody and I ask somebody how they're doing, if I see someone in need and help them with something, oh my gosh, all of a sudden,
amen.
All of a sudden, my whole experience is different. My whole experience is different now. I went to the grocery store and had a great time. Why can't I come to church and have a great time?
Amen.
All I got to do is just say hi to somebody.
Yep.
Smile at somebody. Show God's love to somebody. Why? Because God's goodness and mercy follows me everywhere. But God's goodness, see, the way, this is how my mind thinks. God's goodness and mercy on me every day of my life is not just for me.
Right.
It's not just for me. There are some days I need it, and to be honest with you, I'm hogging it all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not every day. That's not 5 out of 7 days. That's one day here and there where I'm going to take it and hog it all. But most days, God's goodness and mercy comes upon us because we're supposed to take a little bit and we're supposed to give most of it away.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to take a little bit and give most of it away. And take a little bit and give most of it away.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because
yeah.
Last week we were talking about if we're going to follow after Christ, we're determined. We have a purpose. I am determined and I am going to make a purpose to follow after Christ.
Amen.
Remember last week we used the word hot pursuit? Hot pursuit, like a hunter going after his prey. The hunter doesn't stop until he gets his animal.
Yeah.
We come to church, man, we should be just like, man, God, I'm going to follow after God. I'm not stopping until I get everything that God has for me. Everything that God has for me. I'm not stopping. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. And it doesn't end here. It doesn't end with a good teaching or a good sermon or good worship. It doesn't end, you know, with us giving tithes and offerings and planting and our seed offering. We talked last week, too, about the duplication. When we begin to follow Christ, at some point, we begin to learn how to imitate Christ. Come on, when you first got born again, you didn't know how to imitate Christ. Remember?
Yeah.
When you first got born again, when you first gave your life to Christ, you didn't know how to imitate Christ.
No.
You learned as you went.
Amen.
Come on, our children learn how to imitate us as they follow us.
Amen.
As they grow up in our homes, as they grow up, you know, as they come to our schools, as they come to our Sunday school, they learn to begin to imitate us.
Yes.
Come on, why do little kids lift their hands and sing? Because they see us do it. Why do little kids clap? Because they see us do it. You know, my dad is a Yankee fan. Right, you're a Yankee fan? Guess what baseball team I like? I like the New York Yankees. Guess what baseball team my son likes? The New York Yankees. Why? Because we all grew up and we have prejudices in our life based on how we were raised and the things that were around us, and we begin to imitate. Growing up, I saw my dad rooting for the Yankees. I'm a Yankee fan. Growing up, my son saw me rooting for the Yankees. I taught his mother how to be a Yankee fan. When we first got married, she was an obnoxious Yankee fan. I said, name three players on the team or stop talking. So I began to teach her how to be a Yankee fan. If you're going to be obnoxious, you have to at least know what you're talking about. But you know, if we're going to imitate Christ, we have to study Him.
Yeah.
We have to study the things that He did. We have to study the things that He said.
Yeah.
Amen. Why? So we can fully understand Him.
Yeah.
If I'm going to imitate Christ, I have to follow. I need to read about Him. I need to study Him. I need to talk to Him. Yeah. I need to look. Man, Christ did this, and Christ did that, and Christ did this, and Christ said that, and Christ said this. Man, we need to be studying. Why? So I can imitate Him. How do you follow after someone and not pay attention to anything they do or say? That's just walking behind somebody. I don't want to just walk behind God. I want to follow after God. And when we begin to follow after God, we will begin to imitate God. Now, everyone here would agree that if we all began to imitate God more, the world would be a whole lot better off than what it is. I don't say much stuff about what goes on in the news, and I do that for a reason. But let me tell you something. We need to realize that our enemy is not each other.
Amen.
Our enemies are not black. Our enemies are not white. Our enemies are not in blue. We have a real enemy.
Amen.
We have a real enemy, and they're trying to destroy our country. Some from without and some from within. But let me tell you something. It's not each other. And we need to realize that if we would wise up and smarten up, and we would all get together and actually fight the enemy that we have in the United States of America, the United States of America would be a whole lot better off. And there's no surprise, we have an election coming up. And I tell you, every time we have an election, you vote your conscience, but you vote your conscience as a Christian. You don't vote Democrat because you're a Democrat, and you don't vote Republican because you're a Republican. You vote your conscience as a Christian. What do these people believe that line up with what I believe as a Christian? That's how you should vote. That's how I believe a Christian should vote. You can vote. When you go in there and you're inside that little plastic thing, that's the only one that knows what you did is you and God. No one else will ever know. If you voted for this person and that person and what you did here and what you did there. But man, I would encourage you to vote.
Amen.
Vote. Get out and vote. Because there's a lot of stuff happening in our country. You got to pay attention to everything that's happening and going on. Alan West came through our church a couple times, if you remember. I don't know if you follow him at all. But he was a guest speaker and they were trying to censor him. They told him he couldn't use certain words. And he, in his comment, I thought it was a little hysterical. He was like, not only am I coming, but I'm going to say whatever I want to say. And they were saying that he wasn't an expert on radical Muslim and everything else. And he was just kind of rattled off his resume. And it's like, I think that qualifies him quite well. But, you know, these kind of things are happening all over the country. And we got to pray.
Yes.
And if we would just simply try to imitate Christ, I think we'd be a whole lot better off.
Amen.
Thank you. See, that's why I don't like talking about that stuff, because I just go off and I can't stop. It's that moment in life where where a righteous anger comes upon you, because really, I think a lot of people choose to be ignorant. They don't want to know everything. They don't want to know all the facts. They just, I'm gonna do this because that's what my parents have always done, or I'm gonna do that because that's what my parents have always done, or my family's always done this, or my family's always done that, or whatever party I'm affiliated with, that's who I'm gonna vote with just because that's who I'm affiliated with. I guarantee you, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, at this age, we're all, you have no idea why you're a registered Democrat or Republican. Most of us. I guarantee you most of us, I won't say everybody, but most of us don't know why. They say, and I have checked it out, if everyone that is a registered independent, if everyone that's registered as an independent voted independent, the independent party would win every election. Figure that out. All right, cause some people register independent because they don't want to offend this family member or that family member, so I don't want to say I'm a Democrat. I don't want to say I'm a Republican. You know, that's kind of us going, well, you know, we go to a non-denominational church. We go to a Presbyterian church. We go to a Catholic church. We go to a Lutheran church. We put labels and all that kind of stuff. We want to make labels. We make labels. When you read the New Testament and you read even the Old Testament, wherever the labels were, do you notice there was division? You notice there was division? Where the labels were. And what were they able to do? Even Paul was able, because of the labels, was able to get them fighting against each other. All he had to say was, I believe in the resurrection, just like these guys over here do. And all of a sudden, they're all fighting. They all hated Paul, but now all of a sudden, they hate each other. Just like that. And you know what's happening today in America? We're allowing people to influence us into thinking we hate each other because of the color of our skin, because of how we were raised, because of where we grew up. I got news. Whether you're white or black or any color in between, when we get cut, it's all red. Okay.
Amen.
No matter what color we are, no matter if we're living here and we're allowed to live here, you're American. You know, we have all these labels and all these things and politically correct this, politically correct that. We're all Americans. How about we stand up for America? How about we fight for America? You know, we see a lot of that in the church even today. Churches fighting against each other and this and that. And it's just like, man, we do have a common enemy. They say common enemy brings unity together. We have a common enemy, but we're not getting unity anymore. That scares me, to be honest with you.
Amen.
It scares me. It frightens me, because a common enemy should bring unity in the body of Christ. A common enemy should bring unity to the United States of America.
Amen.
To our country. And the devil would love nothing more than to destroy our way of life. Why do people flock here? Because they want to be free. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, Jesus said in the book of John, I and the Father are one. To me, that means you can't tell them apart. I and the Father are one. Jesus said, I don't do anything on my own.
Amen.
I only do the things I saw my Father do. I only say the things I heard my Father say.
Yeah.
You know, there are sometimes, you listen to me every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in one Sunday, you should hear something that I say and go, man, I heard Dr. Joe say that before.
Amen.
Somewhere, somehow,
yeah.
Something comes out. Why? Because I heard that I heard a lot of his teachings my whole life.
Amen.
If you came to church here for any length of time, we've heard a lot of teachings from Dr. Joe.
Yeah.
Right? Fair enough?
Amen.
So at some point, some of those things should come out.
Yeah.
Of all of us.
Amen.
Come on, how many of your kids repeat things that you say?
Yeah.
Good or bad?
Yeah.
Come on, I told you all my story before. My kids were little in the bathtub, and my son's just saying this word that he should not be saying to his sister. And Roz and I look at each other and go, did he say what I think he said? And we walked in there and said, what did you say? And he repeated it again. And God, I had to tell you the truth. I had to walk out of the bathroom to laugh for a minute and then walk back in and go, that's not nice. And then, of course, you have to ask the question, right? Where did you hear that from? And all I'm thinking in my head is, please don't say daddy. Please don't say daddy. Please don't say daddy. Because a lot of times we say things and do things we don't even realize. And it's kind of like our kids do things and we're surprised. Why do you do that? Why do you say that? And we don't like the answer. Now, let me also preface, it doesn't make what we do right. Because we see someone else do it, doesn't make it right.
Amen.
Well, I saw this person. I saw my dad do it, so I can do it. It doesn't make it right.
That's right.
A lot of times we think it makes it right. Well, the only reason why I did that is because my dad did that and my mom did that. I saw them both do that, and they both acted that way, and they both said this, and they both did that. Again, I said this last week. We want to pick the one or two negative things and forget about the 98 positive things. And go, I'm just going to imitate those two things. Those two bad things I saw you do, I'm going to imitate those two things. And then we want to go over here and go, I'm going to imitate the two bad things I saw you do. And I'm going to imitate the two bad things I saw you do. But we want to ignore the other 98 things.
Amen.
And if we're going to do it, let's do it all the way.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to read a couple more verses for you. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Mark 8, verse 34. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me.
Amen.
Man, when it comes to that selfish thing, man, a lot of times, I don't know. The only question I have after read that verse, and then just ask yourself this, will I do it? Am I willing to do it? Am I willing to give up my selfish ways? Am I willing to deny myself and pick up my cross and follow after Christ?
Amen.
And, you know, before we answer real quick, we got to be careful because there was a man named Peter. I said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you to the end.
Amen.
Unfortunately, the end is going to be in about 4 or 5 hours, but I'm following you to the end.
Yes.
And Jesus even told him, you will not be able to handle what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
And Peter, of course, said, no, Lord, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, there's some more verses in Mark chapter 10 where we kind of see the same thing happening again as we just read in Mark 8:34 with the rich young ruler.
Yeah.
And Jesus told him, go and sell everything you have and then come and follow me. And so you'll have treasure in heaven. And at the very end of that verse, in verse 10:21, he said, take up the cross and follow me. I think it's interesting that he said it again, not even that far after he said it the first time there. What he was telling that rich young ruler was, you need to get rid of things in your life that you're putting in place of God.
Yes.
We all have things in life that we put in place of God. Every one of us. We all have things in life that we put ahead of God. And what we need to do is we need to get rid of those things. Because what happens if you take that thing, let's just say this button gets in the way of me serving God. I can take this button and I can put it away. But if I put it away, eventually I'm going to go, I'm going to take it back out. And I'm going to put it back into use. What Jesus said was, go and give away what you have to the poor. And I think the lesson we need to take with that is, when we have things in our life that are getting in the way of our relationship with God, we need to get rid of them. We can't put them in a drawer. We can't put them in the closet. We can't wrap them up and put them in the garage somewhere. We have to get rid of them. We have to remove those things from our life. If this thing gets in the way of me and God, I need to get rid of this thing and give it away. And then it can't get in the way of me and God anymore. Come on, out of sight, out of mind. You may think about it for a while. You may desire it for a while. Anybody here ever quit a habit?
Yeah.
Anybody here ever quit a habit?
Yeah.
What happened when you first gave that habit up? You thought about it. You gave it up, but you thought about it. You might have even dreamed about it. You might even have talked about it. But eventually what happens is you stop talking about it. You stop thinking about it. And all of a sudden, it's like, and someone mentions it, and you're like, oh yeah, I used to do that. Yeah. Oh, you're trying to quit smoking? Oh, I gave up smoking 20 years ago. It was so easy, and we really forget all the stuff we went through to quit smoking. Or thank you, Lord. Again, the question we have to ask ourselves is, will I? Will I give up the things in my life that are getting in the way of me serving God? We have to pursue God. Why do we pursue God? Because God is the one that makes us holy. The law doesn't make us holy. In Romans, Paul said that the Gentiles that didn't pursue righteousness obtained righteousness through God. But the Israelites who were pursuing righteousness through the law did not obtain righteousness.
Amen.
God is the one that makes us holy.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus is what makes us clean.
Amen.
And pure.
Amen.
And white as snow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're supposed to follow after peace. We're supposed to follow after things that will edify each other. We're supposed to follow after love. The Bible even tells us to follow after spiritual gifts. We're supposed to follow after anything that is good, the Bible says. Why? So we can be a blessing to all men. We're supposed to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it's not a following after in those senses is not just chasing after, it's a catching. It's catching it. It's getting it. It's grabbing hold of it. It's obtaining what we're going for and what we're trying to get. We're supposed to look like God.
Amen.
There are some days where I'll go, man, I think I did okay today. There are some days where I go, man, I hope no one saw me today at all. Thank God no one was home. Thank God my wife was. Thank God no one saw me today because I wasn't so good today. But you know, we all have bad days. We all have bad moments. Don't let your whole life be judged by a bad day. Don't let your whole life be judged by a bad moment. Let those things go. Because if we don't let those things go, angerness comes in, bitterness comes in, unforgiveness comes in. Come on, when you're angry and bitter, you know what you're chasing after? How can I make that person miserable because they did this to me? How can I make that person pay because of what they did to me? And that consumes our whole thought, our whole life, everything we say, everything we talk about, instead of letting it go. But we're supposed to look like God. God forgave us, didn't He? Come on. God forgave all of our sin. Anybody here perfect? We're all sinners, right? So when someone looks at us, we should not be able to tell the difference between us and God. That should be our goal. That's what I heard this morning in Sunday school. I want to look like God. When I look in the mirror, I want to see God. When I look in the mirror, I want to see something holy. When I look in the mirror, I want to see someone that's righteous. And you know what the great thing with God is? It's that those words don't translate into perfect. It's attitude. It's a heart. It's working toward perfection. But there should be no difference. There's an old commercial I want to show you. You probably have to be my age or a little older to remember the commercial. But it definitely rings true.
Ella Fitzgerald. Amplified voice. You did it. You are now hearing the Memorex cassette tape recording we just made of Ella. Now you'll see a glass shatter again. But is it Ella or is it Memorex?
How many of you remember that commercial?
Buy 10 90-minute cassettes, get one free at participating.
Anyone I remember that commercial is older. I won't say you're old. You're older. That commercial is so old. Whether you noticed it or not, that commercial was in black and white. Thank you, Lord. But it was amazing is the whole point of the commercial was the Memorex tape could mimic Ella Fitzgerald's voice to the point where you couldn't tell the difference between the two. And when someone looks at us, they should be able to say, man, I see Jesus. That should be our goal. When someone looks at me, I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see beyond my flaws. I want them to see beyond. I want them to see my heart. I want them to see who I really truly am. I want them to see Jesus. Let's all stand. I think we all have a little bit of work to do. I think we all have a little bit of work to do. Because we need to work continually at allowing our lives to become like Christ. And then what do? We go and help someone else become like Christ. How many of you are born again and going to heaven? How many have ever prayed with someone else and got them born again? Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you prayed with someone else and got them born again, it was your responsibility to make sure that they continued in their walk with God. That's what we call discipleship. We're all called to be disciples. We're all called to be disciples. And what that means is we're all called to walk someone through their Christian life and to get them to the point to where they can then help someone else walk through their Christian life. You know, something that was said in Sunday school this morning, you know, Crystal made a comment, I came because of my friend. Do you understand that everyone that comes here should be able to say that? And you know, that's okay in the beginning. I'm glad she came because of her friend. I'm glad she stayed because of her friend. Because God did something in her life through that journey. It's the same thing God did to us. At some point in our life, some point in our journey, God, we maybe came to church because of this person or that person, but at some point we begin to realize as we grow in our relationship with God, then we're coming for different reasons. Amen. But everybody should be able to say, I came and I stayed because of my friend. Don't look at me like I'm weird. Because everyone needs to be discipled. Everyone needs help. And that includes us. And the same way, how many of you got help in your Christian life when you first got saved and first got born again? You know, there are others out there. There are others out there that need the same help that we got. You know, I grew up in church. So like when I got saved, I was really, really young. But I remember times in my life where I needed help. I needed guidance. I needed direction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you have allowed us, Father God, Lord, to be part of your family, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we have dedicated our lives to you. Thank you, Father God, Lord, that we have given you ourselves, Lord God. Thank you that you teach us and help us to lay down our lives, Father God, Lord, and pick up your cross and follow after you, Lord God. Help us, Lord, Father God, Lord, to seek and to search and to pursue, Father God, Lord. And Father God, Lord, help us to imitate everything that we learn about you, everything we read about you, everything, Father God, Lord, that we gain understanding about you. Help us to be imitators of the word. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, Lord God. Help us that when we look into the mirror, Lord God, we can see the things that we want to see, Lord God. And when our flaws show, Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for not condemning us, Lord God, but for opening our eyes to things that we need to change in our life, Lord God. And then for giving us the tools that we need, Lord God, to change things in our lives, to grow, Father God, Lord, to expand our lives for you, Father God, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Father God, Lord, help us, Lord God. Send us someone to disciple, Lord God. Send us someone to help through their walk, Father God, Lord, with you, Lord God. Send us someone, Lord God, that we can train up in the things of God, Lord God, that we can show the way, Lord God. It's not just getting someone to recite the sinner's prayer, Lord God, but help us to truly be disciples, Father God, Lord. And help us, Father God, Lord, to show others the life that Jesus had, the life that Jesus lived, the things that he said, the things that he did, Lord God. And help us, Father God, Lord, get someone else, Lord God, to the place where they can then go and disciple someone else, Father God, Lord. We thank you, Father God, Lord, that you had your way here today, Lord God. We praise your name. We lift you up, Father. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory. We only have a couple announcements. We're working on a trip to Honduras. We're thinking February-ish. And right now the price is going to be about $800. We really just need to know if anyone's interested in going. I'm definitely going. $800-ish. It might be a little more, it might be a little less, but that's about what it's going to be. And it's going to be a week long. And right now it looks like Cindy got blessed, was able to get a vehicle. Got blessed, going to be able to start working toward getting a home, and we're believing that by February she'll have it. Which means we need to go and make it kid-proof so she can start using it. If it's not kid-proof, she can't use it. If kids are on the second floor and they can walk off the walkway, that's not good for business, let's just say. So we're praying about that. We're working toward that. And Wednesday night, excited about Wednesday night. Solid Rock's going to be here. They're going to be having church with us. We're going to have a service together. Kathy and Nikki are going to be doing worship Wednesday night. I'm going to be teaching Wednesday night. Afterwards, we're going to hang out and have some pizza if you want to hang out. We'll have some pizza. And we have diet drinks, water. So you're more so you can eat the pizza and drink your diet drink. Yeah, it compensates. Looking forward to that. Josiah is going to come. He has an announcement that he's going to close our service in prayer.
Okay, yes, one more announcement. As he was saying, Love Invasion's coming up soon, and this year we're trying to change the stage like we do every year. So this Saturday at 11 o'clock after prayer, we're all going to come together and help. We need some men, okay? We need some men. So it's a lot of labor. So if you are able to come out this Saturday at 11, when it will end is when we're done. So I don't know when that'll be. All right. But if you can't come out at all, just come out and help. I'd really appreciate it. Amen. So let's just close in prayer. I believe that's it. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you for being here in the midst. I thank you for teaching us how to truly follow you, Lord God, and that it takes just giving up of so much of ourselves so that we can truly be imitators of you and look exactly like you, Lord. That's our goal, to become more and more like you each day, Lord. And I pray that we can put that into action this week, Lord, as we cut more and more of this world and our flesh out of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.